This is Cornerstone Baptist Church, a ministry built on faith, family, and fellowship. We now join the exciting teaching and preaching ministry of Pastor Dwight McKissick. Now, here's Pastor McKissick.
We bless you and thank you. You didn't have to stop by this morning, but you did. And we said thank you. You didn't have to fill us with joy, but you did. And we said thank you. You didn't have to put a pep in our step, but you did. And we said thank you. You didn't have to put clothes on our back and food on our tables, but you did. And we said thank you. You didn't have to forgive our sins. You didn't have to save us from a burning hell, but you did. And we said thank you. You didn't have to fill us with the Holy Ghost, but you did. And we said thank you. Thank you for the joy of the Lord, because it is our strength. Thank you for the word of God, how we need your word. Now, God, I pray that you would fill us and feed us. Bread of heaven. Bread of heaven. Feed us now till we want no more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I see. I see it don't take y'all very long to become the Cornerstone Church of God in Christ. Amen. That's all right. I always thought they had praise right. The rest of us just catching up. They always had that right. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 100, verse 2. Psalms 100, verse 2 is our focus, but for context and clarity, I'd like to read verses 1 and 2. Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2, with verse 2 being our focus. Would you read it responsibly after me? To save time, remain seated, please. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Repeat verse 2 after me. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I want to continue the theme I started on the 1st of January about this being the 11th hour, and what does God want from you in the 11th hour. And I argued in that first message, God wants our praise, our worship, our devotion. I want to argue today that God wants his servants to take seriously his commands to serve him with grateful and glad hearts in response to his lordship and his grace. The Lord has called believers to serve him. So I want to preach today from the subject, have you paid your rent? Have you paid your rent? Dr. Wright Lasseter is a distinguished educator and minister in the city of Dallas. He currently serves as the chancellor of the Dallas Community College District and a Dallas Baptist University faculty member and chairman of its board of trustees. Additionally, Dr. Lasseter is a teaching pastor at the Concord Baptist Church in Dallas. I first learned of him in the 80s when my parents would return from the L.K. Williams Ministers Institute at Bishop College in Dallas, Texas, and they'd tell us about Bishop's president, Dr. Wright Lasseter. He served as president of Bishop College in Dallas as well. Now you ask, why am I telling you about Dr. Lasseter? Why have I introduced you to him today? This is why, because of a statement I recently read that he made while receiving an award from Dallas Baptist University for his many years of service and leadership in the Dallas educational and ministerial communities. Upon receiving DBU's Russell H. Perry Free Enterprise Award, Dr. Lasseter stated, and I quote, listen to what he said. He said, I thank you, speaking to the Dallas Baptist family, I thank you for this award with the utmost humility and greatness. I further accept it with full recognition of a lesson that was taught to me by my father. Here's the lesson that was taught to him by his father. He said his father defined service this way. Here's how his father defined service. I thank you for this award with the utmost humility and greatness. And he says, his father defines service as the rent you pay. Repeat that after me. As the rent you pay for the space that you occupy on earth. Think about that. Service, he said his daddy told him, is the rent you pay for the space that you occupy on earth. When I read that, I had to stop and pause because I'd never looked at it in that light. I'm breathing free air. Anybody got a bill for the air they breathe? It rains in my backyard free of charge and make the grass green. Anybody ever got a bill for that? Some of us occupy more space than others, but I'm occupying space on the earth that I don't pay a bill for. And his dad had taught him, you owe something for the space you occupy. And it's something you have to give back and not charge for. He says, and then listen to what else his dad has said. I don't know his dad. I have met Dr. Lasseter. But he said, his dad said, I also want you to know, my son, to always live in a high rent district. Service is the rent you pay for the space you occupy on earth, and I always want you to live in a high rent district. In other words, you got to give more service and better service than most. Dr. Lasseter further stated that what his dad had taught him had been a guiding mantra for him in his personal and professional life. His challenge is to be a quintessential servant leader. Service is the rent you pay for the space you occupy on the earth. My question to you, Cornerstone, is have you paid your rent? If service is the rent you pay for the space you occupy, and then when you couple that with salvation, you ought to pay double rent, amen? You ought to live in the high rent district if you're saved. The question is, have you paid your rent? Or do you just come to church and sit soaking sour? Do you come to church sitting on your stool or do nothing singing, "I shall not be moved"? Do you come to church singing, standing on the promises when you're just merely seated on the premises? In Psalms 100 verse 2, David commanded the children of Israel to say it with me one more time, "Serve the Lord with gladness." My brothers and sisters, the sovereign God of the universe chose to place us on planet Earth at this 11th hour. See, it's strategic. It's no accident we're living in 2010 as opposed to 1910 or 1810. There's a reason why God got you and I here now. At this 11th hour in world history, just before the clock strikes 12, God got us here because he wants us to serve him at this hour. And I believe we're living in the last of the last days. The first somebody I heard use that expression, "the last of the last days," was when Reverend Steve was teaching on Revelation once. He mentioned the last of the last days. Not only are we in the last days, but I believe we're in the last of the last days. God is speaking at this hour. The scripture says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." The question, though, what is the Lord saying? I'm not sure exactly what he's saying, but it was recently reported that 300 dead birds fell from the sky in Alabama. Arkansas, Louisiana, and Kentucky also reported mass quantities of dead birds falling from the sky. That looks like something out of an Alfred Hitchcock movie. I don't know what all that means, but God is saying something. And just in case they want to call it a freak of nature, over 100 dead birds were found out in California earlier this month. God is saying something. Hundreds of birds, jackdaws, were reported dead in Italy and Sweden recently. Way across the water, God is saying something. My dear and trusted friend, Dr. Bob Fowler, lives and pastors in Las Vegas, and he actually sent them to my wife, she's the technology person, the pictures of snow in Vegas a few days ago. Vegas is in a desert. But it's snow not only in Las Vegas, it snowed in San Diego just last week. On January 12th, you had snow in all 49 states other than Florida, including Hawaii. Don't y'all just let this stuff go by. God is saying something. I'm not sure exactly what he's saying, but as that Color Purple song said, God is trying to tell you something. Massive fish kills were also recently reported in Maryland. I preached out in Chesapeake, Maryland, in Chesapeake Bay a few years ago, and they took me on a boat ride. Everybody know I love water. Took a boat ride of that beautiful Chesapeake Bay, but they've just recently had thousands of fish to come up dead on the shores of the Chesapeake Bay. Also, it happened in Brazil and New Zealand. And something even more freakier, officier. Fish have been raining down from the sky. Go on the internet, look that up. Can you imagine going outdoors and fish raining down out the sky? Turn to Matthew 24:7 right quick. I've been accused of being the master of speculative theology, and I enjoy that. I like playing it on the edge. And I'm like the late Dr. E.B. Hill. Until you can tell me what something means, I'm going to stick with what I believe it means until you can tell me better. Most folks that challenge what I say something means, I tell them, "Well, now you tell what it means." Well, I don't know. Until you know, I'm going to stick with what I know then. Matthew 24:7 says, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences." Say pestilences. "And earthquakes in various places." places. Could it be that when the Bible says that there will be pestilences at the end of the age, that what we're seeing happening may be a fulfillment of this prophecy? The word pestilences means harmful to society in a moral way, tirelessly annoying. And dead fish in BB, Arkansas would be annoying. Let's get thousands of dead. Who want to eat a dead fish? You catch them live and kill them, but you don't want them to come up dead. I'm scared to eat a fish to come falling out the sky. Thousands of dead birds is annoying, harmful to society. God is saying something to the believer in this hour. And one of the things I know he's saying is for us to draw nigh. Don't just let these signs pass you as just, it's just a fluke or a freak of nature. No. God is saying, come closer. God is saying, I want your attention. Those of us who know him, he says, it's time for you to get your house in order. You prayed long enough. Arise, awake ye who sleep. Oh. God wants to draw nigh unto us, and he wants us to draw nigh unto him. And worship is the vehicle that ushers us into the presence of God. And work is the rent you pay to God for the blessing of his presence. I said worship is the vehicle that ushers you into the presence of God. And last time I preached, I talked about the importance of worship. As we worship God, we enter into the gates and presence of God. But work is the price we pay for the space we occupy. For the provision, for the protection, for the presence, for the power and the peace of God that we enjoy on planet Earth. Therefore, David said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Notice in this text, the command to worship preceded the command to do work. And you don't really have to choose worship or work. You're really called to do both. For some people, worship is their work and their service. But Mary and Martha got into a fight because Martha wanted to work and Mary wanted to worship. And Martha began to complain that Mary wouldn't help her work. We need to be careful. Workers tend to be upset with the intercessors and the praise dancers and the choir members. They won't work. We want them to cook the meals. We want them to serve the tables. We want them to, the workers want the worshipers to work, and the worshipers want the workers to worship. But it's not a matter of either or. How many know it's a matter of both and? The worshipers ought to work, and the workers ought to worship. And that's what Jesus told Martha, leave Mary alone. Sitting at my feet and soaking up the word, because you need to spend time getting the oil of gladness and joy in the Lord before you go to work for him. That's how you're going to serve him with gladness. That serving him with gladness comes from spending time in his presence. Psalm 16:11, in his presence is fullness of joy. You ought to go get full joy before you go to work for him. You see, and the reason you need to be refilled is because you leak. If you're doing a lot of work, you leak. So therefore, you have to go to worship to get filled again. So you can work again. You work, worship to work because you leak so you can get filled again. In this 11th hour, every believer ought to make up in his mind, say, I will worship the Lord. Secondly, in this 11th hour, every believer ought to make up in their mind, say it with me, I will serve the Lord. That's the challenge today. That's the call today. I will serve today. I will not just be a bench member. I will not be just a bench warming Christian. Coming to church is a great thing, and it's part of the job, but coming to church is where it starts. That's not where it stops. God has called you to serve. Coming to church means you worship, but work requires going another step of the way. The psalmist gives the image of a throne room and a king. Let's turn back to Psalm 100. Matter of fact, look at Psalms 99. that's contextual preaching to see what's said just before and just after. In Psalms 99, he gives us a picture of servants worshiping and working for the king. In Psalms 99, verse 1, he says, the Lord reigns. Psalms 99, verse 2, he says, the Lord is great in Zion. Verse 3, let them praise you great and your great and awesome name. He is holy. Verse 4, the king's strength also loves justice. We're talking about coming before the king. Psalm 99 is a picture of a king. 99, verse 5, worship at his footstool. The king has a footstool, and you bow at his footstool to worship. Verse 6, Moses, Aaron, and Samuel were his servants in yesteryear. The king had servants. 7b, they kept his testimonies and the ordinances he gave them. The king gives out orders and ordinances. Verse 8, the king answers and the king forgives. Our king can not only hear and answer prayer, but our king can forgive our sins. He can heal our diseases. He can save our life from destruction. He can renew our youth like an eagle. He can crown us with loving kindness. I'm talking about our king. Verse 9 says, our king receives worship. He says, therefore, exalt the Lord their God. So when we get to Psalm 100, verse 1, David has set the table of a king and worshipers and workers before the king. He says, and we, now that we're coming before the king, you coming before the king with a shout. Let me hear you say shout. Shout. Shabbat the Lord, shout unto the Lord. Make a joyful shout, a noise unto the Lord. You know, the best party in town ought to be the Cornerstone party. Pastor Cheney taught us that every time this door opened, it ought to be a party. The party out here ought to be so hidden and so on that people would consider any other party a step down. What's going on at the local clubs and what's going on at the local strip joints ought to be pale and boring compared to what goes on in God's house. There ought to be a party up in here. There ought to be joy up in here. There ought to be shouting up in here. There ought to be salvation up in here. There ought to be dancing up in here. There ought to be deliverance up in here. There ought to be praise up in here. There ought to be prayers up in here. There ought to be wisdom up in here. There ought to be counseling up in here. There ought to be humility up in here. There ought to be encouragement up in here. We ought to be making a joyful noise. It shouldn't be a party like the Cornerstone party. Because we're coming before the king. It's going to be a shame that when the Super Bowl comes to town, that's going to be a bigger party than churches throw on Sunday morning. Somebody ought to come in making a joyful noise. You don't have to wait on the choir. If you're sitting there, just shout hallelujah. You don't have to wait on the praise team. If you're sitting there, shout glory to God. You don't have to wait on the ushers to take it. Go ahead and say, glory! Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord reigns. Somebody ought to come in saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Somebody ought to come in saying, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Somebody ought to come in saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. Somebody ought to come in saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Somebody ought to come in saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. When we come before God in genuine worship, praise, and thanksgiving, it will inevitably bring us to the question of Psalms 112 about verse 16. It says, what shall I render? What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Did I get that right? Psalms 112, is that what Psalm 116? Psalm 116, verse 12. Psalm 116, verse 12. Repeat that after me. What shall I render to the Lord? See, and that's what Wright Lasseter said. His daddy passed the baton to him. He mentored him and says, son, you got to render something unto the Lord. And the question is, what shall you render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? How many know anything you get from God is a benefit? The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. If you can see, how many know that's a benefit? If you can touch and taste and think and smell and hear and walk and talk and breathe, how many know that's a benefit? If you got a car, that's a benefit. And if your car will crank up, that's another benefit. If you got a job, that's a benefit. And if your job gives you a check, that's another benefit. I heard Reverend Meek say, and I don't think cars even have carburetors now, but not only do you have to thank God for the car, you ought to thank God for the carburetor. Everything on the car is a benefit. So what do we render to the Lord for all the benefits? When we come before God in genuine worship, praise, and thanksgiving, we can't help but say, now, God, what do I owe you? What shall I render? Freely we have received from the Lord. Freely we ought to give back to the Lord. Therefore, the question is, what do we give? And David said in Psalm 102, what we give back to God for his benefits is what? Let me say service. I want to just talk to you briefly about that and take my seat. How do I pay my rent? How do I give back to God? He says, you serve the Lord with gladness. Simple as that. The Hebrew word here for serve means to work for another, to serve another by labor. You're working for another, that's God, and you serve another by labor. God not only wants your worship, he wants your work, your service. You know, you look pretty and all that, but God needs you to get ugly for him. He needs you to sweat for him. You have to put some sweat equity into the kingdom. How can I serve him? There are many opportunities to serve the Lord. Many ways you can serve the Lord. We are commanded to serve the Lord, but the question is, how can I serve him? Well, Sister Mona Bacon will help you with that, and there'll be tables outside after church today where you can go and explore different ways you can serve God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do it unto the glory of God. We got a prayer ministry. That's on the heart of God. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest send laborers into the vineyard. There's some folks serving, and may not be with 3, 4, 5, 10, or 12, but going to be here at 6 a.m. in the morning serving God through prayer. We got an evangelism ministry. We're signing up people who will just go out and go into the harvest and compel and invite men to come. We got an usher's ministry. I saw young ushers standing all around these walls practicing. Psalms 84:10 says, better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than a sinner in the tents of the wicked. We got a kitchen ministry. Every time there's a funeral, I see the same ladies and one or two men sweating over pots and pans, cooking and cleaning, and serve families of 50, 60, or 70 people. Because when you lose a loved one, you want to be served. You don't want to do the serving. But those ladies could take additional help. I could go on and on. We got about 70 options for you to serve right here in this church. Now, I'm looking at that clock. Does that mean I got 10 minutes left? What do I mean? What do I got? 10:43? I'm almost through. Jesus said, he that is greatest among you shall be a what? This is not about a popularity contest. And nobody may know you, sir. I had no idea the magnitude and depth and extent of this weight loss program. I didn't know who was in it, who was doing what. I didn't know. I saw the announcement like you did. It wasn't until I go in and weigh this morning, and I'd really gotten bad, but I've lost 27 pounds since Thanksgiving. Y'all give me a praise. And my scales at home weigh just like the same scales here. So my wife think I be tricking my scales at home, but the exact same weight at home was what I weighed here, except it was 2 ounces more here because I had on. At home I wear my birthday suit, but I can't do it. That was the only difference. That's a few ounces because I had on a. All right. You can't be great in God's sight if you don't serve. So please stop long enough to see how can I serve. Many of you are serving, but majority of you are not serving. We have a rule here we don't enforce. We're so weak to enforce it, y'all don't know we got it. But we said years ago that the price to be a part of this church costs, these lights cost $20,000. We need more than your money. This mortgage has been $50,000 a month. The price for membership, we wanted every member to serve. Even if it's just 1 week at Vacation Bible School, even if it's just a one-time act of the year where you go out and give away clothes, we needed everybody to be a member to do something. And if you went through a year and didn't do nothing, good to see you, Brother Reavers. I woke up this morning thinking about you, sir, thinking I had missed you. I said, Lord, okay, God bless you. It's a joy to see your face this morning. For some reason, I woke up thinking about you this morning. But are you serving? Yeah, I see you in the singers ministry sometime. Amen. Every member ought to have a place of service. That's the perfect will of God. Now, I got to close this sermon up. How can I pay my rent? David said, number one, serve the Lord with gladness. Number two, right here in the text, he says, come before his presence with singing. The Hebrew word for singing here does not necessarily mean a melody. The word really means joyful voice. Come before him with a joyful voice. It means a ringing cry or a shout for joy. Serve the Lord with gladness. And it's the workers who got a reason to rejoice. When the disciples went out and ministered in the Lord's name, they came back rejoicing, saying, Master, even the demons are subject to your name. Sometimes the reason you're not shouting is because you haven't worked. If you have worked, you got something to shout about because you've seen fruit of your labor. But if you're not shouting, that's because you're probably not doing any working. This word is translated singing once, only once, and that's here in this text. It does not necessarily denote a melody. It's when it says, come before the Lord with a joyful shout, you're coming before a king. You're preparing to serve the king. Come before his presence with a joyful voice. I'm going to close on this. So you don't have to choose between worship and work. Every worker ought to come before his presence with a joyful shout. Come before his presence with a joyful voice. You say, well, I need some help. What do I say? Before I go out to work, before I go out to feed the hungry, before I go out to clothe the naked, before I go out to witness, before I usher, before I sing in the choir, before I serve with the hospitality team, before I count money, sir. We need some people who can count the money every week. See, there are different ways you can serve. There are many ways you can serve. We need folk who pick up bulletins after church today. All the trash. Rick Warren's church got on TV because doctors and lawyers and accountants and engineers, when they joined his church, they wanted to work out on the parking lot. They wanted to pick up the paper after church. They didn't want to be on boards and committed. They wanted to serve in the trenches. And the news came out to cover, said, what is this? That the wealthiest, most prominent people in Orange County are over here picking up paper on the parking lot. How many know God put it in the hearts of people to serve? We need to cut this out. You need a title and to be a big shot. That's not what it's about. God is the big shot. God is the king. There ain't but one big shot in God's house. You come before the king. The late Dr. S.M. Lockridge, and I close, He talks about Christ being the king, come before his presence with a joyful king. Dr. Lockridge has a famous sermon called My King. He says he's the king of the Jews. You need something to shout about? God adopted you into the family of God. Most of us were not born Jews. We were born Americans and African Americans. But yet, through faith in God, we become sons of Abraham. Somebody ought to shout about that right now. He's the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know him? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define him. His love is limitless. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know my king? You ought to come before the king with a shout. He's the greatest phenomenon that ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in solitude of himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I'm talking about my king. I wonder, do you know him today? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathized and he saved. I'm talking about my king. He strengthens and he sustained. Has he strengthened anybody in the house today? I'm talking about my king. Come before his presence with a shout. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I'm talking about my king. Well, he's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring to wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. I'm talking about my king. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. He reigns in righteousness. His yoke is easy. His burdens are light. I'm talking about my king. I really wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm talking about my king. Well, when you really get to know him, you can't get him off your mind. You can't get him off your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. The grave couldn't hold him. Early one Sunday morning, I'm talking about my king. He got up with all power in his hand. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Somebody ought to say amen. 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 Come before Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. For we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord, I said he's good. He's good. He's good. And his mercy is everlasting, and his truth enduring to all generations. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve him with gladness. Serve him with gladness. Go outside. God wants you to serve him. Just don't shout, serve him. You shout before you serve him, but serve him. You shout after you serve him, but serve him. Serve him in the morning. Serve him at noontime. Serve him. Serve him. Serve him when the sun.
You've been listening to the teaching and preaching ministry of Pastor Dwight McKissick from the Cornerstone Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas. To purchase this and other teachings from the pulpit library of Pastor Dwight McKissick, call 817-468-0083 or log on to cbcarlington.org, where you'll also find a link to our Facebook page where you can get daily encouragement and information. Once again, thanks for listening to Cornerstone Baptist Church, a ministry built on faith, family, and fellowship.